respect for federal agency leaders continues to fall within the ranks that those leaders command. The last few federal employee viewpoint surveys say rank-and-file employees don't respect their upper-level leaders as much as they used to. Executive court qualifications are supposed to help senior executives maintain high leadership standards, but they might be too easy to follow. Bob Tobias is professor of key executive leadership programs at American University and thinking of ways to improve the executive court qualifications to build better agency leaders. Of course, it turns into an acronym after a while, Bob. What is, give me the thumbnail on the ECQs, and then we'll get into talking about why they're important.
So they were designed by OPM after looking at successful members of the senior executive service and describing a set of behaviors needed first to be certified and then selected into the senior executive service. So they were created in order to provide a government-wide set of criteria for, as I suggest, certification and then selection. And my point is that these are skills, necessary skills, but only an infrastructure of skills that are necessary to be successful. I believe that in order to be successful, at minimum, people applying to the SES and people in the SES need to have emotional intelligence and develop emotional intelligence, and they need to develop their capacity to engage in engagement in a way that they don't have when they come into the program. And those skills are not included in the ECQs, and I think they should be.
So let me understand, is it your sense then that when the ECQs were created, they were created as a floor for what senior executives should have? A foundation to build on, and over time, it sounds like from what you're writing, and we have a link to that in GovExec at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, that you think that they've maybe become the ceiling now instead of the floor. Am I on target?
Yeah. I mean, when they were created, the world was not as complex. It didn't move as fast. The last revision to these were in 2006, and we live in a much more complex world. We live in a world where resources are shrinking, where change is a constant, and leaders are asked to do more in a more complex way than they have in the past. And so I need additional capacity that is not described in the current ECQs.
How would reshaping them look in your view, and what are the things that should be considered when we decide, if we decide, to go down this path?
Well, first of all, you know, there's a great deal of data and research on the role that intelligent, emotional intelligence plays. I need to have those domains, particularly self-awareness, in order to be a better leader. And that's not part of the ECQs, because I have to know who I am in order to be able to engage with you. So if I don't know that, then I can't engage with you, and you will not, as we use in the KEY program, decide to give me your discretionary energy to accomplish my goals and objectives. So that's a key thing that's missing. And a second thing that's missing is what I describe as the ability to create a culture and environment that supports collaboration, where engagement gets beyond individual achievement to where people are working together to create something new and different than they could have created acting alone. And that, too, is not part of the ECQs as currently drafted.
You used a term a couple of seconds ago, Bob, that we've talked about before, but I don't think we've talked about it on the radio, and that's the term discretionary energy. It's so important in this area of study. Explain, define that term, and then explain an example of it or how I can see whether it's manifesting itself in my operation.
So in the KEEP program, we talk a lot about discretionary energy, and that is the energy that you, as someone who's led by me, can only choose to give me. I can't extract it. By the term discretion means you choose to give me energy. So it's more than checking the box. You are excited. You are involved. You want to come to work. You want to give me your discretionary energy. And for me to get that, I have to have the capacity to create an environment where you will choose to give that to me. And that's not an easy task. It requires the skills that I'm describing, the ability to engage with you authentically, the ability to understand how to create a culture that will allow you to not only collaborate, but learn and thrive. And those are not part of the ECQs.
That's it sounds like it's the space between the bare minimum that I need to exert as the employee to get by and giving everything I've got to contribute to whatever the leader's goals for the organization are.
That's it. You got it.
Okay. So the challenge that we see when we look at some of the questions that you cite in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey all revolve around that concept of extracting that discretionary energy from the people, not just the people below you, but the people 2, 3, 4, maybe more levels below you, right?
That is correct. The four questions that apply to senior leaders from the Employee Viewpoint Survey dropped overall quite significantly in the 2014 survey that was just released. But what's interesting to me is that a third of the agencies across the government increased their scores overall. Those that increased their scores, for the most part, also had an increase in these four questions that apply only to GS-15s and members of the SES. So they focus on creating the kind of engagement that leads to more productivity, and they're not the kinds of things that are identified in the ECQs.
You cite the work of a number of folks, and I don't have time to list them all, but I commend folks to go to federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, click on the link to the piece that you're writing in GovExec, and check it out. You cite these ideas: the need for leaders to develop themselves, creating the self-awareness to move from one level to another, developing necessary social and emotional intelligence, and creating a collaborative learning workplace environment as the most important elements that are missing from the ECQs. We only have about a minute left, Bob, but ideally, how would you like to see OPM incorporate them in a way that everybody understands, that's fair to everybody, but also will be effective in deployment?
That's the language that's necessary to be included is the language that you just quoted, and OPM needs to validate that language by looking at successful leaders, which I think they can do, and including it in the ECQs. The time is now to make that move.